to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and I'm going to read a few verses here from Scripture. Well, thank the Lord for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Amen. Sunday, the Lord's Day. Amen. It's the Lord's Day all day long. Amen. I say a lot of times, the Lord's Day, Sunday, is a special day. Amen. Because it's a sanctified day. It's the day our Lord got up out of the grave, and therefore he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. It's wonderful to have that assurance and know that one day we'll be like him. Amen. Well, I appreciate being here, Brother Herbert. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord today and the Lord's Day and to preach. Open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and I began reading in verse 17. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 17, down through verse 22. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeling to him, and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I was thinking while Brother Glenn was singing that song about God's love and about Jesus loving us. And I was thinking about how the Lord works in services and how that song blends right in with what I felt the Lord to have me to preach this morning. Here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, in these verses I've read, we read the story of a young man, a young ruler, and he came to the Lord Jesus. Now he came to the right person. And the Bible tells us that he came running and kneeling. So he probably was sincere in that all he knew. But yet when he came to the Lord, the Bible tells us that he asked a question, what shall I do? A lot of folks have felt like that's the answer of what they can do. But it's not what I can do or what you can do, but it's what's already been done on the cross of Calvary when Jesus died and paid that debt we could not pay. And he paid it in full. And I'm glad that we're pardoned upon that fact that Jesus paid the price. And therefore, we are justified freely by his grace. But the Bible tells us here that this certain ruler came and he asked the question concerning the greatest need in man's life, and that is salvation, eternal life, living forever. So when you think about that, the Bible tells us here that our Lord told him what he must do. But yet that rich young ruler was not willing to do what the Lord said do. There have been a lot of folks confronted with that truth. A lot of folks still are confronted with truth. But yet when they hear the truth, they did not want it that way. They had their own ideal, own opinion, what must I do? But see, it's not God's way. I mean, not our way. It's God's way. Now, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. I was thinking about that passage in the Old Testament. You remember the leper Naaman went to Elisha. And when he went to Elisha, Elisha didn't come out and meet him or greet him, but he just told him what he must do. Now, Naaman was a well-respected man, a great man. You know, he got kind of angry with what Elisha, the truth, told him. I mean, the prophet told him the truth. Go to the Jordan, dip yourself 7 times, and thou shalt be clean. Well, old Naaman said, we got a lot of better water in where I came from than we have here. And you know what the servant said to Naaman? If he'd asked thee to do some great thing, thou would have done it. See, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But his ways are always right. And there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. I'm preaching this morning on this subject, going to hell with Jesus loving you. That's what that rich young ruler did. I've read this passage a lot of times. It's recorded in all the four Gospels. But then I was reading again in Mark chapter 10, and something jumped out at me. And that's the way it works, you know. You'll be reading the Bible, you've read it, you've studied it. And then all of a sudden, you're reading it again, the same passage, same verse, and there it is. Now, it wasn't there. You just didn't see it clearly and didn't really register with you. So in this verse 21, here's what stood out. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Amen. This rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus, went away without salvation. And as far as we know, no scripture tells us he ever was saved. And a lot of folks like this rich young ruler, they have come to Jesus. I'm talking about with hearing the truth, heard the truth, turned that truth down, and went away into eternity without God, with Jesus loving them. There will never be a soul that will stand at the great white throne judgment and say to God, I'm here because you didn't love me. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we could be called the children of God. Amazing love. Wonderful love. Love beyond all our comprehension or understanding. But I'm glad one day I heard it. One day I believed it, and I accepted it, and the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. Amen. So when I think this morning with you on going to hell with Jesus loving you, I want to say, first of all, we want to look at the man's goodness. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse 20. Yeah. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Now, the Lord didn't say you're telling a lie. No. The Lord didn't say you're telling a falsehood. And the Lord knew all about this young man. So this young man was telling the truth. As far as he was concerned, he had kept all these commandments, except one we'll talk about maybe. But we see his goodness. In other words, his good morals. He was a good moral man. He came to the right person, had good manners. He knelt before him in humility. But Jesus said to him, in other words, keep all the commandments. He said, well, I've kept those in my youth up. So you think about it, a lot of folks think they're going to heaven because of what they have not done. In other words, they have a standard with other people and put themselves up with him and say, I'm not as bad as Joe or Bill or James. I haven't done this, I haven't done that. But yet the Bible said there's none good. No, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every man's turned his own way. And there's not a just man on the face of the earth. So the Bible tells us this rich young ruler had some good morals, but good morals will not qualify people to go to heaven. So let's look first of all the man's goodness. First of all, he was not an adulterer. Because the Bible said here in these verses, our Lord said, do not commit adultery. And he said, Lord, well, I've kept this in my youth up. So he wasn't guilty of adultery. A lot of folks say, well, I'm not guilty of adultery, so if anybody makes it, surely I will. Yeah. So this rich young ruler, He was not guilty of adultery. Another thing, he was not guilty of murder. Notice the Bible. Do not commit adultery, do not kill. So he wasn't guilty of adultery. He wasn't guilty of murder. But still, he wasn't good enough to go to heaven because he was not an adulterer or murderer. So we see some of his goodness. And the Lord didn't say, you're not telling the truth. He was telling the truth. He was an adulterer. He was not a murderer. And then also the Bible tells us he was not a thief. Here's why the Word said, now do not steal. He said, Lord, I've kept all these from my youth up. I've committed adultery. I never killed anybody. I never stole anything. So what must I do to have eternal life? All these things I've kept from my youth up. Amen. Talking about, bragging about his goodness. Goodness. So he was not an adulterer. He was not a murderer. He was not a thief. And also, according to this Bible, he was not a liar. He did not bear false witness. Are you following me? See, a lot of folks got the ideal, if I'm not an adulterer, if I'm not a murderer, I'm not a thief, and I'm not a liar, why is it that I cannot go to heaven? In other words, I have these good qualities and morals in my life, and I just don't think that God would condemn me because I've kept all these from my youth up. A lot of folks have that philosophy. A lot of folks really believe that and feel that. And one of the evils of our day with these modern day charismatic preachers, and that is they put in the minds of people that they're good enough to build themselves up with their own bootstraps and go to heaven without repentance and without faith in the finished work at Calvary. Our Lord did not do that. Our Lord could have got a profession. Our Lord could have had another disciple. But our Lord wasn't interested in professions and discipleship. He is interested in salvation. And therefore, he was honest with this rich young ruler. By the way, folks, this Bible's honest with you. It won't flatter you. It won't fool you. It'll give you the facts, and you can deal with them as they are. Either say amen to them or refuse them. So he said, Lord, I'm not an adulterer. Jesus didn't say you're lying. Lord, I'm not a murderer. Lord, I'm not a thief. Lord, I'm not a liar. And another thing, he was not dishonest. Notice what the Bible said. Do not defraud not. So he was not dishonest. As far as he is concerned, he had a lot of goodness. Most of the time, if you look at that man, and by the way, I hear this a lot of times. In other words, this fella, he's a good man. He is a good man. He dies, and the first thing the preacher will say is, he was a good man. Yeah. Well, good men don't go to heaven. Yeah. See, because there's none good, no, not one. So not only was he not a liar and not dishonest, but another thing he did, he respected his parents. Now, you just get a picture of this young man, a model young man. Where could you find any fault with this man? In other words, if anybody was qualified to go to heaven in the eyes of men and what they felt qualified them to go to heaven, his good deeds was outweighing his bad deeds, and if anybody made it, surely, Lord, he would. The Bible said right here, verse 20, verse 21, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth up. And the Bible said, he said, honor thy father and thy mother. So see, the Lord said up here, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, and went down through those commandments. And that rich young ruler said, Lord, Master, all these I've kept my youth up. What lack I yet? Amen. Is there anything else I can do? And if the Lord had said, yes, there are some things you can do, and he could have done them, he probably would have done them in his own strength, in his own ability. But see, the Lord's leading up to something. The Lord's getting this young ruler to see really where he's at and really what he needs and really what he must do in order to have eternal life. And that was, notice, this rich young ruler had a God in his life. No, he's not an adulterer. He was not a killer. He was not a thief. He was not a liar. He was not in other words, dishonoring to his parents. But it's one thing in his life. He had a God in his life, and that was that first commandment. Amen. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Amen. He had a God, and his God was his possessions. He thought more of what he had in possessions, in wealth, in his treasures, in this world, than he did his eternal soul. Amen. There's nothing in this world going to hell for. Amen. Nothing. Pleasure, popularity, right. Fame, prestige, position, nothing in this world is worth going to hell for. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. There have been multitudes like this rich young ruler. They've heard the truth. They've come to the right person. But when they were confronted with that truth, they said no and went away, grieved, sorrowful, and did not come on the Lord's terms. Can I say something? You go to heaven on the Lord's terms and not your terms. That's the truth. See, a lot of folks got the idea, well, there's more than one way. You go your way and I'll go mine. We'll all get to heaven at the same time. Only thing wrong with that, there is only one way. That's God's way, the Calvary way, the blood-bought way, and there is no other way. Our Lord said, what is on this earth? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he said to the religious crowd, except ye believe not I am he, ye shall die in your sins. How shall you escape the damnations of hell if you believe not I am he? Amen. See, our Lord said, I am the only way. There are a lot of religions, a lot of teachings concerning the way to heaven, but according to the Bible, there's only one way. And our Lord said, I'm the way. Simon Peter said, neither is there salvation any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Amen. Paul said, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. And then he said in that second chapter, in verse 5, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That excludes the Mother Mary. Amen. That excludes the Pope. Amen. That excludes the pastor. Amen. That excludes the preacher. That excludes your parents. You're not going to heaven on what somebody else says or does. You're going to heaven on what Jesus says and what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. This rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had a God he is not willing to forsake. And notice what this Bible said in verse 21. The Bible said in verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou likest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Somebody said, you really mean the Lord meant what he said to that rich young ruler? In other words, sell what you have? Yes, he meant it. Because what he had was his God. And by the way, you've got to get ready to God if you go to heaven. You can say amen. Paul went to Thessalonica, preached four Sabbaths. While he preached the gospel to them, the Bible said that they turned to God from idols to serve the true living God. In other words, that rich young ruler had to make a choice. Do I want God or do I want my gold? Do I want salvation or do I want my silver? Do I really want to go to heaven or do I just want to go in life, in other words, with my own goodness? He had to make a choice. And the Lord brought him to that road where he had to make that choice, and he made the wrong choice. One thing thou likest. He had a God, and that God was what he possessed. You know, when I think about the rich young ruler, I think about another rich man by the name of Zacchaeus. Remember him? Amen. He is rich. Zacchaeus was rich. He is a tax collector, Jew, collecting taxes for the Roman government. He wasn't very well thought of. He's kind of like the Internal Revenue. Yeah. Most folks don't like the Internal Revenue. I don't like them. You say, why not? I just don't, because they're not honest and fair with a lot of people. So a lot of folks didn't respect Zacchaeus, didn't like Zacchaeus. But you know what about Zacchaeus? He's rich. But you know, one day he heard about Jesus. and he wanted to see Jesus. He's determined to see Jesus. And Jerusalem was packed with people. Jericho. And our Lord's going through Jericho. Zacchaeus here, he's coming through Jericho. And old Zacchaeus could, he's a little man, low, a little man short of stature. And the Bible said he climbed up a tree. He wanted to see the Lord, determined to see the Lord. And the Lord said to Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. And old Zacchaeus came down. The Lord said this to him, today salvation has come to thy house. Here's what I'm leading up to. It's rich and ruler's rich. He wouldn't give up his riches. Zacchaeus, when he got down, he said, Lord. He called him Lord, see. He had the right attitude about Jesus. He says, Lord. And then he said, you know what? He said, in other words, if I've wronged any man, I'll pay him fourfold. He said, I'll observe and keep the law. I recognize you as Lord. I'll obey the law. And then what he said, I'll sell all my half of my goods and give them to the poor. Have you noticed that? The rich young ruler said, I'm not giving my silver up. I'm not giving my money up. I'm not giving my possessions. Old Zacchaeus said, I'll give it to the poor. See the difference? See the difference? In other words, this rich young ruler loved his possessions more than he thought of his eternal soul. I say it again, there's nothing worth going to hell for. No position, no possessions, no pleasure, nothing is worth going to hell for. Nothing. What should it profit a man if he gained the world? The world and the lust thereof are going to pass away as sure as we're here. So we see the man's goodness. You can't deny that. Our Lord didn't deny it. Our Lord didn't debate it. Our Lord didn't say it wasn't true. But our Lord said, you got one thing you lack. What is that, Lord? That is, you've got to repent and turn your God loose and therefore come to me without reservation. Amen. Is that not true? But you know what kept this rich young ruler coming? It wasn't, I'm sure, a lot of folks do not come because of pleasure, positions, popularity. But one of the main things that keeps people from going to heaven is pride. Amen. A lot of folks are still sitting on church pews, lost without God and without hope. And they know they need the Lord, know what they got to do to get to Jesus by repentance and faith, but yet pride. Pride has caused more people to go to hell than any other sin you can mention. And God hates pride. See, in order to go to heaven, you've got to be this rich young ruler, had to humble himself, get rid of his pride, and therefore acknowledge all these things I've observed, but still I'm filthy and vile and dirty and unclean, hell deserving. And Lord, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. Amen. Pride. Did you know that it was pride that got the devil cast out of heaven? Did you know that? He is an anointed cherub. In other words, he was created by God, the Creator. And one day that anointed cherub said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be like the Most High God. I'm going to exalt my throne above God's throne on the side of the north. Isaiah said, and I think also Ezekiel bears witness, that Lucifer, in other words, the anointed cherub sinned, he was lifted up with pride. But God said, no, you're not going to be like me. See, the devil, the anointed cherub said, I'm tired of being a servant. I'm going to be a sovereign. I'm going to be like God. And God said, oh, no, you're not going to be like me. And our Lord said it like this while he was on this earth. I saw Satan as lightning falling from heaven. You know why there's a hell? I want to run this by you. If you don't get anything else I say today, you listen carefully. There would be no hell if there was no devil. God did not prepare hell for you. God did not prepare hell for the souls of men. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. If there had not been a devil, there'd be no hell. There was a devil before there was a hell. You better listen. If you go to hell, you'll be out of place. If you go to hell, you will be there in spite of God's love that our brother sung about and I'm preaching about. If you go there, it'll be because of your own choosing, your own choice. And forever and forever, you'll be in those tormented place. Pride is what caused the devil to get cast. Pride's what caused Cain to slay Abel. Pride's what caused Saul to seek the life of David. Pride's a dangerous thing. Okay, we've seen his goodness. Can't deny that. We've seen the man's God. What is that? That's his possessions. Thou shalt have no other God before me.
Amen.
Anything that you let keep you from coming to Jesus, puts between you and God, is your God.
Yeah.
You may not have much money. You may not have a great, in other words, position in life. But if you allow pride to rob you of eternal life, you'll be lost forever and forever.
Amen.
Going to hell with Jesus loving him. Because the Bible does say that Jesus loved him.
Amen.
But just because Jesus loved him, Jesus couldn't compromise. Just because the Lord loved him, he couldn't change the message. Just because the Lord loved him, he couldn't say, well, I'll let you in because you have not committed all these sins and broken these commandments. Our Lord couldn't do that. Can I say something to you? We're living in a changing world. We're living in a changing religious world. We're living in a day when religious people have changed the way of heaven. Do you know that? Since you won't come on God's terms and you won't come God's way, in other words, we're going to give you another way. And that's happening. If I want to lead up to something, I'll be through in a moment. The man's goodness. Then we see the man's God, but we see the man going away. Think about that. He went away from the Savior. Went away from eternal life. Went away from going to heaven. He went away just like he came. He went away like he came. See, once you come to the Lord Jesus and you repent of your sins and put your faith in him for salvation, you never go away the same. You won't ever go away the same. Now, a lot of folks come and join a church and remain the same. A lot of folks get religion and remain the same. But therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's in the Bible. I know it by way of experience. If you're saved, you know it. If you're saved, you know. By the way, I was converted. A lot of folks, converted. That's a good Bible word, converted. I was converted. I was born again. I was saved. I was changed. Converted. Before I was converted, I didn't know that 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17 is in the Bible. I didn't know that. I knew John 3:16. I'd heard that. I didn't know that that verse in the Bible was in the Bible. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But when I found it, it didn't disturb me. And when I read it, I didn't doubt it. You know why it didn't disturb me? You know why I didn't doubt it? I didn't know it was in the Bible, but when I found it, I knew that I'd experienced it. Old things had passed away. Behold, all things had become new. And by the way, that experience begins on the inside and works through the outside. See, a lot of folks got the idea, if I reform, if I turn over and you leave, if I stop this and stop that, it begins on the inside. Amen. And once he's on the inside, there'll be evidence that he is there on the outside. Okay, now, are you still following me? See, what I'm preaching right now, a lot of folks don't accept because they've been told that's too old-fashioned, that's too far out reached, and therefore it's just out of date. But listen to me. The man went away, verse 22, verse 21. The Bible said he was sad at that saying, went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He left Jesus for his God, went away with Jesus loving him, and therefore, as far as we know, he's in eternity in hell without God.
Amen.
Here's the bottom line of all of it. What the Lord was saying to the rich young ruler was, you must repent. You've got to change your mind. Sure, you've got good morals. Sure, you've been respectable to your parents. But here's one thing about it. You've got to change your mind about your God. You're going to have to repent. That's what repentance is.
Yeah.
Repentance is a change of mind. Here, Peter, in Acts of the Apostles, Peter is preaching, and he said to that Jewish crowd, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Now, what he's saying is that Jewish world, in other words, they were guilty. By the way, if you read those verses before that verse, they were guilty of crucifying the Lord.
Amen.
They were guilty of crucifying the Lord of glory.
Right.
They said he's not God. He's not the Son of God. He's not the Lamb of God. He's not Messiah. Here's what Peter said. You've got to change your mind about that man.
Amen.
You said he wasn't God. You said he wasn't the Lamb of God. You said he wasn't the Son of God. You said crucify him, and you're guilty of crucifying the Son of God.
Right.
You've got to change your mind and take sides with God against yourself and say, yes, he was God. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was the Lamb of God. Peter said you got to change your mind about Jesus. And you got to change your mind about yourself and about sin and about salvation. It's not your way. It's God's way. Praise God. I'm glad I know the truth. And I'm glad I have the truth. And I'm glad I can preach the truth and just leave it in the hands of God. So this rich young ruler went away with Jesus loving him. Oh, he's a good man. Oh, yes, sir. He's a good man. And in the eyes of people, if anybody make it, he would. But our Lord said to him, there's one thing you lack. Just one thing. And that one thing is going to keep you from going to heaven unless you repent and change your mind about your gods. See, this rich young ruler wanted both. That's right. He came to the Lord and said, I want salvation. I think he was sincere. I want salvation. But he wanted it on his terms. But you can't get it on your terms. And there are no two ways, and you can't have both. Now, we're living in a day that's been going on a long time. In other words, what you do, get you some religion, make a profession, join you some kind of church, live your same old lifestyle, go the same way you've been going, and dare anybody, even God, to say you're not saved.
Yep.
And that's the way it is. That's the philosophy of our day. Who are you to tell me I'm not saved? I talked to a man one time, a long time ago. He's a drunk. Nowadays, they're alcoholics. He is a drunk. He is a sinner. Nowadays, the alcoholics, and they're sick. No, they're not sick. They're sinners.
Amen.
And he was a drunk. And, of course, a preacher came to town, that community, years before I got there, and he got them people a lot to make professions. And he got this man to make profession, but he never did come to church, never was baptized, but he always would say, I'm saved. One day I was talking to him. And I opened my Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and I read it to him, and I said, as I read it, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I said, have you experienced that? Well, no, he hadn't experienced that. He's still a drinking, carousing around, running around on his wife, abusing his family. You know what I said to him? I said, now, according to what God says, you're not saved.
Amen.
I didn't say what I said. I didn't say what I thought. I said, according to this Bible, you are not saved.
Amen.
Now, the Bible tells you how to be saved. The Bible tells you how to know you're saved. And the Bible tells you how to live saved.
Amen.
You don't need anything else.
Amen.
Well, here's salvation. Paul's in Thessalonica preaching the gospel. The Bible said they received the word of God, the mother assurance of faith, the Holy Ghost. And here's what Peter said to them. Here's what Paul said. Here's what he said. Here's repentance. The word's not there, but it's there. You turn to God from idols to serve the true and the living God and wait for His Son from heaven. That's Bible repentance. Going to hell with Jesus loving Him. A lot of folks have done that. Some folks will continue to do that. But you don't have to. If you're not saved, never have been born again, you don't have to. You don't have to do that. Because the Lord loves you. And the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that's an old story. It's a great story. That's the only story that'll get a man from hell, earth, to heaven. The truth will set men free. I want to stand to our feet for a moment. Brother Herbert, be all right to give an invitation. Going to give an invitation. Sister Pam, you want to come play? See, I don't know your heart. No man does, but God does. See, God knows your heart. God, Jesus knew that rich young ruler. And our Lord was fair with him. And our Lord dealt with him honestly. And our Lord loved him. That's the way the Lord is with us. He knows us. He loves us. He's fair with us. Honest with us. And he's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
Wants to bow our heads for a moment. Think about what I've talked about. You that are saved by the grace of God. I know you praise God for that. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Think about it seriously. And I say it so much. Today is the day of salvation. Did you know that there's not a promise of tomorrow? Did you know that? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Life's like a vapor. It's here for a little time, vanishes away. The Lord spoke to you this morning about your need for salvation. Don't tarry. Don't put it off, because it's a dangerous thing to trifle with the Word, truth, and the Spirit of God. Lord, we know you know the hearts of each of us. You know our needs, dear Lord. And Father, we know that we cannot move men, but we know you can. We know, dear Lord, that we cannot open hearts, but we know you can. So, Lord, all we ask is that we'd seek your will, pray for your power, and pray, dear Lord, for that one that even may be in this place that needs the Lord Jesus. May they see that they're headed toward an eternal hell. Lord, help them to really see how much Jesus loves us. Went to Calvary and died in our place and paid that debt we couldn't pay. Have your way, Lord, as we wait before you. In Jesus' name, amen. While our sister plays, while we